Well, today is our 18-year anniversary. It's hard to believe it's been 18 years. It's been 18 wonderful years.
Oh, yes. She married up, didn't she? No, I think I'm married up. And I think it's on our anniversary, I think it's only appropriate that I sing a little bit. You don't know that that's how I got her, was my singing skills. So I just want to sing a little verse. Is that okay? You are so beautiful to me.
Aww.
You may stop. I'll stop there.
I think he should get a kiss afterwards, don't you? That was great.
I have to embarrass her. That's one of my favorite things, to embarrass her, especially in public. And I've done that for 18 years. 23 years we met at church. And we've been serving God together. We've been growing together. And God has always been the center of our lives. That everything's not been easy, that we've had open heart surgery. She's had lung surgery. She had gallbladder surgery. Had an accident with my eye. I shared about that last week. There's been ups and downs, hills and valleys, and mountaintops experiences. But God's been through with us on every step, on every journey. And I'm so excited to be here. This is what we love to do. We love to share. We love to encourage. We love to equip people. And there's nothing else we would rather be doing today on our anniversary. I love you, babe.
I love you. God is the center of a life. He has always been the center of our lives. I met Josh when I was 15. He was 16. We met at church. And I knew as soon as we started dating, he was the one for me. I knew
obviously.
He was the one that, obviously, I knew he was the one that I was going to marry. He was the one that God had created for me. And we started dating when we were young, so I think we dated for an eternity because we were so young. But I remember the day that he proposed to me. It was our four-year anniversary of dating. We were at a park, and he got down on one knee and did it right and proposed to me, and I said yes. And what my favorite thing was is that as soon as he stood up, we took hands, we faced each other, and we started to pray. And we prayed that God's blessing would be upon our lives and that he would bless our marriage. We knew God had placed us together. We knew that God had a plan for our life. And we prayed that God would be the complete center of our lives from there until eternity, and that we would always put God first in our lives. We knew God had called us to the ministry, and we knew that we had to be having him be the center of our lives.
We share when we talk about marriage that there's no perfect marriages. We don't have a perfect marriage. We don't have a perfect family. And sometimes you see on the outside and say, man, they're just a perfect couple, whatever. But we have struggles. We have valleys. We have disagreements. A lot of times now that we don't verbally disagree, we text each other our disagreements. Anybody else now, when you argue, you know, you text. We were at the drive. We were at the bank the other day, and, you know, we had a disagreement about something, and we were smiling, and the woman was cashing our check at the bank, and I was texting her. She said, well, why did you think that, and why did you do that? And we're smiling, and we're texting back and forth, and said, why did you ask me that, and why did you do that?
I had just gave her a Good Shepherd pen like a week before. She needed a pen, and I said, here, take this Good Shepherd pen, and this is a way to invite you to church. And so I knew I couldn't sit there and have an argument with him in front of the woman when she had just held up the pen, said, I still have my pen. I won't let no one take it. So I just smiled and texted everything in all caps what I wanted to say.
So there are no perfect marriages. But who we decide to spend our lives with is a major, major decision. And I talk about, when we talk about marriage, that we may start at different positions in life, but when we go after God, when we serve God, and we pray together, and we worship together, and we give God, we surrender our lives to God, we ultimately get closer to God when we do those things. That as we both chase after God and we serve God with a passion, that in the end we will get closer together through that. And so our decisions are very important. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1. If you have your Bible, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 1. You got your Kindle, your Android, your iPhone, your iPad, whatever, your King James Bible, whatever. We're going to be reading from the New Living Translation here in a moment of Proverbs chapter 1. But your life will not get any better than your decisions. You can pray and still make wrong decisions. You can love God and still make wrong decisions. and your life will be a mess. I believe that you can come to church and you can grow up in church and you can live in church for 50 years, but if you make the wrong decisions, it can affect your future. Here in a moment, at the end of service, we're going to recognize all of our graduates. But I just want to share a word today that we have to learn to hear the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God in our life. We have to learn to hear the voice of the Lord because our decisions matter.
I remember one time we had purchased a Jeep, a Cherokee, and I loved that Jeep. I wanted to get that Jeep. I thought it was beautiful. Our children were really little at the time. We had a minivan. It was a great amount of room for us, the minivan was. It served the purpose. It did what it needed to do, but nothing drew me to want to have that Jeep. I was at the point that I didn't want to look like a soccer mom. I just wanted a Jeep. And so I didn't pray about it. I just said, I want that Jeep. I went on emotions. I thought it looked great. We got to get this. We got to go buy this. We bought it, and it was one of the worst mistakes we had ever made. I ended up hating that car. It was a lemon. Nothing went right with that car. It was just a mess. I never had enough room. I wished I would have never traded my van in, but I was so excited about that, and I just wanted to jump in there, and I wanted to do that. And sometimes in life, we'll go on our emotions. We'll see something that we want, and we've got to make these decisions, and we'll say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and jump in, and I'm going to make that decision. But we've got to remember to stop and to pray and ask God, what is it that you want us to do? Have you ever known of anyone that's ever made a bad decision and then blamed you for it?
For not stopping them.
For not stopping them.
But our decisions affect our future. Our decisions can affect our family. That our decisions don't just affect us, but they affect all those around us. And we have to learn the wisdom of God. And God wants to give us direction. God wants to give us insight about the future. And we have to learn to follow and surrender our will to His will. We've been in a series, and we're completing today, about following. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Being a follower of Jesus is more than you read a Christian book or you post Christian posts on Facebook, but we learn to surrender our lives to Him, and we follow His word. Because there are signs all around us. And if we will listen, God will give us signs of the direction that we need to go. But many times, we ignore those signs. We got an example of a sign that many of us ignore. How many have ever seen the sign when you go to the movies, and it says, what? No food or drink from the outside allowed into this movie. How many seen that sign? How many snuck food still into the movies? I see more hands. I see that hand. We're going to have an altar call here in just a moment. Well, what do? We see that sign, and we can all read. We're all aware, but every one of us, we, even as pastors, we have a movie purse. I mean, you got a normal purse, ladies. Come on. And then you have a movie purse. What do you got in the movie purse?
Well, we have
the movie purse is bigger than the normal purse.
Yeah. We have our normal purse, but then we have our movie purse because you know that you can go to the dollar store and get a box of candy for a dollar, and then you go and it's $5 at the movie. So, and I have learned this well. I pack my cash or my card in my pocket so I don't have to dig in my purse. Because if I open this purse,
all the stuff comes out.
Going to come out.
Come on now.
And I am going to get busted and be like on the news that the pastor's wife snuck snacks into the movies. It would be bad.
So we got Twizzlers.
So we've got Twizzlers, which has already been most of those.
Somebody ate half of those.
We're not going to say any names, honey.
But you.
And we've got water.
Bottles of water. How many? You got like a case of water in your purse.
And then,
you got Mountain Dew?
No, we don't have Mountain Dew. And then I usually put a brown paper sacks, like the lunch sacks, in my purse. And this is the reason why. Because I love to save you money. And so when you go to the movies, if you buy a large tub of popcorn.
She's telling you how to break the rules.
How
to break the law?
Listen, if you buy a large tub of popcorn, you get free refills. So I'll go and say, one large tub of popcorn, please. And then they'll say, would you like something to drink? Oh, no, we're fine. And they're probably thinking, well, aren't they going to get thirsty? And so I take it back, and I have my bags, my brown bags, and we have everyone lined up in our family, and I just start dividing that popcorn out, because I'm going to tell you now, I don't want to hear the kids going, they won't give me the popcorn. Tell them to get their hand out of the bucket. So they all get their own bag of popcorn, and Pastor gets his own bag too. And so we all get our own bag of popcorn, and then within a minute, the bucket is empty, and then I don't want to go fill it up, so they look at me weird. So I send one of the kids to go fill it up again, say, go fill the bucket up again. But I take the brown bags. We have it all planned, and that's how we do it.
But many of us, that's a sign that we all see, but we choose to ignore it. And we can debate, and we can have a real spiritual discussion if that's sin or not sin, whatever. Obviously to us, we don't think it is sin.
We're saving money.
We wouldn't be, you know, we're not cheapskates, we're just frugal, what we call it, frugal. We're frugal. But there's signs that God will give us all along our path. And the first sign I want to talk about today is the speed bump. Is anybody, you got a picture of a speed bump? I don't know about anybody, I hate speed bumps. You know, you're just cruising, you go, and then you don't see it out of anywhere, and you jump and... But do you know that the speed bump is there to slow us down? At the end of the year, I shared about how I found out that I had to have open heart surgery. And we had prayed about it. We got counselors. We talked to other people and got some insight what we should do. And one of my mentors said, Josh, I want you to, you need to do this. You need to take care of yourself. And God is using you, and there's a great opportunity. You need to get this fixed so you don't have to worry about it again. And this is what he said to me. He said, Josh, this is just a speed bump. And that really helped me, and it changed my mindset. Here I was having a major, major open heart surgery. They replaced a valve. They fixed my aortic root. I'm good today. I'm healthy today. I'm strong today. It was a great decision, but at the time, he said, this is just a speed bump. And if you think about that, if open heart surgery major is just a speed bump, what's the deal with the little struggle maybe you're having at work? That the things that we are facing is not a parking spot. That a speed bump is not there for you to stop. But all we do, we slow down and we roll over it and we get back up to the speed that we are in. Some of you are facing trials. Some of you are in sickness, or maybe you're going through a struggle in your relationship or on the job. And I want to encourage you that this is not a parking spot, but this is just a speed bump. That we don't have to stop, that we can roll over this and go forward and get our speed back in the name of Jesus. That this is just a season. If we begin to break down all the valleys that we go through, this is not a permanent deal. This is just a season. This is just for a short term. The Bible says if we resist the devil, he will flee. If we stand strong, as we keep the faith, this too will pass. Some of you may be going through the most challenging parts of your life, and I want to encourage you that this is just a speed bump. That it may slow you down, but it's not going to stop you if you make that decision. That I'm going to get up, that I'm going to go, and I'm going to be what God's called me to be, that this is just a speed bump. Tell your neighbor this is just a speed bump.
And the next sign that we have is slow. There are signs that say slow. We can get so excited about things that God tells us that's going to happen, and we want to hurry and we want it to happen. But then we've got to understand that God's timing is the best timing for everything. That is so hard to understand, because we want to just naturally think our timing is the best timing. Let's get this done. I want it to happen now. But then there's times that God says, slow down, stop. Breathe, take a second, know that I am God, know that everything happens in my timing, know that I'm going to take care of it, and you allow God and his timing to happen. But we want to just go and we want to get it done. And you may be having a hard time at work. You may be aggravated with your job, with your boss, with your coworkers, and you're just ready to quit. You're tired of the commute back and forth. You don't think that you're getting paid enough, and you are just tired, and you are ready to quit. But God says, don't act on emotion, because we'll get tired, we'll get upset, we want to just go in there, and we want to act. But he says, slow down, pray about it first, ask me what I want you to do, and wait on my timing. Timing is so hard sometimes to wait on with God, because you think it's never going to happen, but it is. You know, we've been praying for years to be online during service, and it's took several years of preparation to get to this point. It didn't happen overnight, but here we are on our 18-year anniversary. It's happening today. We're so excited about it. And when we first got married, we knew God had called us into the ministry. And we every night, we would have our journal out, and we would just dream about what God had for us. We knew some of the things he had, but we couldn't wait for it to happen. And we just kept dreaming and writing in our journal, when's this going to happen, God? But it just takes time. It just takes time. I have a very exciting announcement to make today. Here in 2 weeks, I will be able to release my first book that I have been working on for
She's been praying and working for years.
For years, several years, that every time I go in to look at it, I have to change the age of the children because it's changed. But see, it takes time. It takes God's timing to get it done. So in 2 weeks, that'll be on your Kindle, your iBook, and your Nook, and I'm excited about that. And I thought about if I should tell you the title of the book, but I'm going to wait and make you see it when it comes out. But I'm really excited, but it just, God's timing is perfect. You know, I don't like to watch football, but I love my husband, so I watch football. So that's what I do. And he will tell me, I want to go do something. Let's go walk. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Oh, we've just got 5 more minutes. And if anybody is going to roll their eyes, I roll my eyes at that time. Because I'm thinking, really?
Ladies, you understand, 5 minutes of football time is not 5 minutes in real life.
It is not. And it didn't take me long to
figure that out.
It did not take long to figure that out. 5 minutes is like 20 minutes. I don't even know what football time is. I don't know. But I think it is never going to end. You've got all of this interceptions and penalties and all of these different things. And I'm not going to list anymore because I will get them
wrong. That's all she knows. That's
all I know, because I know a foul isn't a basketball. I'm not going to go anywhere else with it. But I do know that the timing is not what we think. So when you're making decisions, when you are facing something, don't go with your emotions. Stop, breathe, and allow God to speak to you and let you know when his timing is going to happen, because his timing is best.
We've seen a lot of mistakes happen when people get the timing wrong. You could have the request right. You could have even the vision, the dream from God. But if we get the timing wrong, we're out there on our own. And I have a saying that I talk about in our leadership, that if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. There's times that we need to pray about things, that you don't have to impulse buy things. You don't have to jump on the first opportunity. But we can pray and seek the will of God. Here's the third sign, curves ahead. Curves ahead. Do you know that God will warn us, God will speak to us when there's things that are upcoming? If we will listen, just like Joseph, God prepared him ahead of time and warned him that there was going to be a famine in the land. I don't believe there ought to be any surprises, devastations, if we are in tune with the Spirit of God, if we listen to the voice of God, if we learn to pray, God will speak to us. Now, I'm not a NASCAR fan, but I know some of you are NASCAR fans. And the NASCARs, the driver doesn't drive just by himself. He has a pit crew. He has a crew chief. He has all these people in the fans. But he also has a spotter at the top of the stadium. And the spotter is watching the whole track. And many times that relates to us in life, that we only see what is directly in front of us, but the spotter can see more than we can see. And the spotter is up there in the stands, and he said, hey, you need to go high when you come around this corner. You need to go low when you get to this spot in the track. Why? Because he can see more than what you see. The Bible says in Proverbs, for us to not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our steps. And God will direct us, and God will speak to us. Hey, don't take that job. Don't buy that house. Don't be involved in that relationship. And we have to learn to listen to the still small voice of God. I counsel with people, and there's people many times they don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want me to talk about what God's Word said. Do you know what they want? They want me to agree with whatever they're wanting to do. And we can't come with our mind already made up. We have to have our mind and our hearts open to the voice of God and stay teachable and pliable and humble enough that we're going to submit and we're going to surrender to the voice of God, and He will direct us. Many people said that with my surgery, so Pastor, God was just preparing you ahead of time. With you getting in shape, with you eating a better diet, you getting in the best shape, basically, of your life, getting stronger, and that helped me through the curve that was ahead. And if we listen to the still small voice, God will speak to us. The fourth sign
is a stop sign. A stop sign is there for your safety. There are going to be times that God says, stop, don't go anywhere. And we have our stop sign. He's going to say, stop. And there's a reason that it's red and it's bright, because it's trying to get your attention. And there's times He'll say, stop. Isaiah tells us, you will go out in joy and be led forth with peace. A couple of weeks ago, we had a young adult that is out of our church. She has went off to be in college ministry for the ministry, and she's been gone for a while, and I knew her process wasn't over, but one morning I woke up and got a text message from her, and she said, Pastor Beth, I'm coming home today. I'm going to be able to see you today. I can't wait. I'm finished. I'm coming home. And I knew that her process wasn't over, and I texted her back, and I said, I would love to see you, but is your process over? She said, no, I miss you guys. I want to come home. I want to be in our church. I want to be around you guys. I just need to come home. I've already purchased my airline ticket. I am coming home tonight. And I texted her back. I said, do you have peace about this? Is this really what God is wanting you to do? Do you have peace about this situation? And she texted back and she said, I don't have any peace at all about this. I'm actually uneasy about it, but I just miss you guys. And I said, you have got to learn when you make decisions that you make them with having the peace of God. Don't ever make a decision and decide to do something if you don't have the peace of God, because then you can get out of the will of God. And so then she responded and she said, I canceled my ticket. I'm going to stay here. I can't wait to see you all, but you're right. I need to wait. And she did. And that's what we've got to do in our life. We have got to wait for the peace of God.
The Bible says, be led by peace. If you don't have peace about it, don't do it, no matter how good of an opportunity it might look like. No matter how good the investment may look like, if you don't have the peace of Jesus, say, wait a minute, I'm going to pray about this. I can wait, not today, but I'm going to wait on the hand of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Look at our text this morning. At Proverbs 1:21. You want to read that?
Proverbs 1:21 says, 1:20 and 21. Wisdom shouts out in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowd along the main street, to those gathered in the front of the city gate.
I want us to see here that wisdom is calling out. Don't you love that? That we are not alone. That we don't have to make on a guess. We don't have to only be led by our horoscope. We don't have to just shake up the lucky eight ball. How many remember the lucky eight ball? You know, and shake. We don't have to base our life on that, or only what our grandmother thinks or what your in-laws think. But we can hear the voice of God. And the Bible says that wisdom cries out in the streets. That wisdom cries out in the marketplace. That wisdom will cry out, are you listening? That we are to be led by the voice of God and the wisdom of God, not just our emotions, not just our feelings, not just our moods, but we are to be led by the voice of God. And the Bible says that wisdom is crying out, even at the busy intersections of the streets, the voice of God is speaking.
Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord grants wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding.
Wisdom comes from God. You can have people that are smart but still be stupid. Have you noticed that? There's people that are intelligent, they're educated, but they don't have any common sense. And those are the people that want to give you advice. Have you noticed that? It's usually somebody that's broke, wants to give you investment advice. Somebody that cannot keep a stable relationship wants to give you marriage advice. Somebody that can't keep a steady job wants to give you an employment advice. Hey, listen to the voice of God. The voice of God. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God wants to speak to us. Are we willing to listen to His voice? Look at Proverbs 2:1. We have a couple more scriptures. The Bible says in Proverbs 2:1, listen to what I say. Treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for wisdom. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver and seek them like you would a treasure.
The first action step that we have here is to listen to what I say. We need to listen to God. The Word of God says that His sheep will know His voice. And some of you may be sitting here saying, you know, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. I've not heard from God. I don't know that if I can hear from Him. But the Word says that His sheep will know His voice. And the more that you spend time with God, the more that you build a relationship with Him. It's not about rules. It's not about religion. It's about having a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about talking to Him. It's about finding out what His Word says. Then you're going to be able to hear the voice of God. The kids always tell me that no matter where we are, we could be in a crowd of 50 or 100 people or however many, they would know where I'm at by my laugh. They know that if they hear me laughing, they know exactly where I am. They said no one else has a laugh like me. They know exactly how I laugh because they spend time with me, because they have to hear it every day. And so they'll know where I'm at. And as we spend time with God, as we get into the presence of the Lord, as we talk with Him, we tell Him our frustrations, tell Him what we need and how much we love Him. We're going to hear the voice of God. If you are sitting here today and you have asked the Lord to come into your life and forgive you of your sins, then do you know how to hear the voice of God? Because you had to hear the voice of God in order to even respond to that. So don't allow the enemy to come in and tell you, you don't know how to hear from God. God's not saying that to you. That's just you telling yourself that. No. Know that you can hear the voice of God, and God is speaking to you today.
Second thing is, He says, for us to treasure His commands. We ought to value hearing the voice of God. That's why we need to spend time with Him every day, that it's not just on Sunday, the only word that you get, but you have a personal relationship with God. I love in the Message Bible, it talks about that we search for it like you're panning for gold in the Message Bible. Isn't that a beautiful illustration? That every morning we're getting up and we're panning from the gold, the wisdom of God. And the Bible says that Jesus only did what He saw the Father do. And we have to learn to spend time with God and download every day what is it He wants to do and what is it He wants to say to us and through us in His name. The third thing is,
tune your ears to wisdom. We have to tune our ears into what God has for us and into His wisdom. Do you remember when you were little that you may have took like a cup or something, you've put it up against the door so you could hear what mom and dad are saying? It may be Christmas time and you want to know what the gifts is that you're going to get. And you tune your ear in there. Well, that's what God's saying here. You've got to tune into wisdom. You've got to incline your ear. You've got to lean in there, and you've got to see what God's saying. But if we don't be careful, we can allow other things to come in, and that will discourage us. And we've got to tune out negativity. We've got to tune out fear. We've got to tune out the lies of the enemy. We've got to tune out people that are not speaking in life into us, that's not speaking peace or joy, but we've got to tune into the wisdom of God.
The fourth thing is here. Our action steps is we have to concentrate on understanding. That word in the Hebrew talks about inclining your ears. Now, I don't know about you, but many times we'll go out on a date, and have you ever been at a restaurant and the person behind you is arguing? And what do we do? Hold on, honey. Huh? Let's be honest here. We're friends. and you're just eavesdropping on him. What are you doing? You're inclining yourself. You're straining to hear the conversation that is going on beside us. What do we have to do? She'll say, well, what are they saying? I said, honey, you know, we're not going to get involved in everybody else's stuff. Hold on. And I'm leaning, straining, trying to hear the conversation that's going next to us. And the Bible says for us to concentrate, that we block out other distractions, that we block out other thoughts and fears, and we listen to the voice of God, and we listen to the wisdom of God, that we strain and listen to His voice. The fifth thing is
to cry out for insight and ask for understanding. We have to cry out for insight. We have to ask for understanding. We have a declaration that we say every day, and a part of that declaration is that God would give us wisdom and understanding. Because there are going to be things that you face every day, and you've got to have understanding from God. You've got to understand. You have to be able to have insight, because our emotions are going to get in the way of it. It could be that you've not had any sleep, you're tired, you're not going to make the right decisions, but you've got to cry out for insight. You've got to cry out for that wisdom, because it's there. It says that wisdom cries out, and God wants you to hear the wisdom, but we've got to ask for that wisdom. And when we ask for it, what we're doing is we are aware that God has that wisdom for us. We can't figure things out on our own. It would drive us silly if we try to figure everything out and try to make sense of everything when God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts aren't our thoughts. And so that's why we have to have wisdom and we have to have insight in everything that we come and face.
The sixth action point is search for it like treasure. That we search for it like treasure. The Bible says in Colossians 2:3, it says, it's in Him, Jesus, lie all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That one of the things, some of you here today, and you have crossroads in front of you, and the thing is to give Jesus all of your heart. That I'm not just giving it to Him on Sunday, I'm not just on a date with Him on Sunday, but I'm going to give Jesus all of my heart and everything that I am, and I'm going to surrender, I'm going to submit. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So I want to encourage every person here today that we give Jesus our heart. If you want to hear the voice of God more, give Jesus your heart. Surrender your life to Him, more than just reading a Christian book, more than just posting Christian post on Facebook, but give Jesus your life and surrender your will and your way to His will. His will is the best thing that would ever happen to your life. We can't tell you to take a job. We can't tell you where to go to school, but we can tell you to surrender your life to the voice of God. And God will speak to you, whether it's coming up front to receive prayer, whether it's to become a missionary, whether it's to take a job, surrender your will to Jesus. So what happens if we make the wrong decisions?
We have to make a U-turn.
The fifth sign, here's the last one. The fifth sign is the U-turn sign. But I've got good news. If you made wrong decisions, God allows U-turns. God allows U-turns. I want you to think back of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, what happened? He was blessed as long as he was with the father, but he got this, he made a decision. That's where it started. He made a wrong decision and left the father's house and made multiple wrong decisions. And where did he end up? He ended up in the pig pen. He was away from the blessing of God. And he made a decision. He remembered that he had it better at the father's house. And what did he do? He got up, turned around, he made a 180-degree U-turn, and went back to the father's house, and the blessings of God came back upon him. The Bible says the father gave him the robe and gave him the ring, and they killed a fatted calf for him. Why? Because he made the right decision and got back into the will of God. If you're away from God and you've walked away from God, I've got good news that God allows U-turns and you can come back home today.
Amen.
So many people in this room that they had wandered away from God, but we can make the right decisions and come back to the Father's heart and his house today. If we made the wrong decisions, there's nothing we can really do or say to change it. But the best thing is, the way out of the pig pen is run back to the Father. We have to take steps to get back into the Father's presence. Our family owns a cabin in Louisiana, a couple hundred acres, and most of the family, they go up and they go hunting, they go fishing, they go camping. Well, one of the things about this place is a beautiful, beautiful place with a pond there and a cabin. But there's no cell phone service. What do we do without cell phone service today? Now, here in Louisville, we'll have 5 bars of service, but the closer we get to that cabin, the less signal that we have. And once we make it all the way to the cabin, there's no cell service. And how many's ever you stood on one leg trying to get a bar of service? You know, you're leaning, you're hanging the phone out the car window, you know, you're standing on a chair, you're doing all these different techniques just trying to reach out and get a cell phone service. And whatever we try to do in our own strength, there would still not be any signal. The problem is not with the tower. The problem is with us that we move too far away from the tower. And some of you today, you're not hearing the voice of God. And I want to encourage you to draw back closer to the tower. Draw back closer to the source. And that's through Jesus Christ. Don't just stand out here and say, God, where are you at? Because I got news for you. God never moved. You're the one that moved. You're the one that walked away. But God is here, and God is at the same place that he has always been. And he is sending out the signal. He's sending out the voice of God. Are you close enough to hear? The Bible says in James, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Some of us today, we need to start with that first step. Back toward the source, back toward God the Father, and say, God, I'm going to take a step. The greatest breakthrough in your life is when you begin to take a step back towards God. Some of you need to quit running from God, and you need to run back to God. You can run, and you can run, and you can run, but you're never going to get away from that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And you're dry, and you're thirsty, and you're ready for change. He is here, and he is there wherever you are at today. And he's saying, come to me, all that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm thankful that God allows U-turns. Today, surrender your life to the voice of God. Amen.
If God's speaking to you today, today is the day for you to respond. Today is the day for you to incline. And today is the day for you to come and receive him as your Savior. You could be the one here today that have said, you know what, I've made a few wrong decisions, I've made a few wrong turns, and today is your day to make that U-turn. And God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for our sins. Jesus rose on the third day to come and to give us eternal life. And it's as easy as A, B, and C. We admit that we need Jesus, that we are a sinner. The Bible says that we are all sinners. We are all born sinners. And then we believe. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he rose on the third day. And then we confess that we need him. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we need him to come into our life, forgive us of our sins. And we're all going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're getting ready to pray a salvation prayer, a miracle prayer, here in just a moment. No one's looking around, but if that's you today, if you may have known the Lord at one time and you may have left him, you may be the one that has gotten away from the cell tower. You've lost your signal. You've lost your purpose in life. You've lost that passion that you once had, that peace that you once had that you knew when you knew Christ. It's not there. And you may be searching in all different ways to find that peace of God. But I want to let you know today that there is no peace like the peace of God. There is nothing that you're going to be able to do to find the peace of God. The only way that you'll get that is through Jesus Christ, giving him his life, giving your life to him. So today, if you want to give your life to him and you want to say that miracle prayer, then I just want you to lift your hand today. Just raise your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Today is your day. You are going to walk out of this building today and you are going to be a brand new person. Today is your day if you want to give your life to the Lord. If you want to give your life to Christ today, just raise your hand. Thank you. Well, we're getting ready to pray that miracle prayer. If everyone would bow their heads and close their eyes, and let's stand and let's pray this prayer. Everyone repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for living my life my way. Today I invite you to be the Lord of my life. Take control of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. Give me the power to change. In your name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer today, then I want you to know that your sins have been forgiven, that you are a brand new person in Christ Jesus.